Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Keep cool this summer when you shop ceiling fans at Menards. Upgrade your space with a quick-install ceiling fan from Patriot Lighting. They're loaded with extra features that will make your ceiling fan install a breeze. Plus, they reduce energy costs, helping you save time and money. Save big on our great selection of ceiling fans. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Maybe they need to start favouring Lando because they need to make room for a little Max Verstappen to make his way into McLaren. I'm just saying.
But going into Copse or going into Stowe, yes, that makes sense.
I totally see Max still going to Mercedes.
Hello and welcome to the Essential F1 podcast. And my goodness, Formula One 2026 has offered yet another winner. Welcome along to the show. We have a lot to discuss. I'm Nicola Hume. I'm your host. And as always, I am joined by F1 commentator who is always hungry for racing action. It's Ben Edwards. Did you like that?
I did. Yeah, that was good. And hungry is always good to watch. And well done to Lando Norris to become the fifth different winner this year. We've seen Ferrari win with Charles Leclerc at Silverstone, for him to win in Hungary. That's lovely. And the combination, we've got lots to talk about in this. And Kimi Antonelli, I was impressed with what he did as well, because qualifying hadn't gone well with the penalty as well, and to move his way back into the podium and to maintain and in fact just increase it a little bit more, the championship lead he's got going into the summer break, I thought was absolutely fabulous. There were some other good impressive performances. Hadjar did a good job, and Nico Hülkenberg getting into the points this time, that was lovely, and we'll be talking a bit more about that. So there is plenty to talk about.
Yes, there is. So we thought we'd bring along the perfect guest, so please welcome so we have F1 reporter, author, legend of the interview pen, it's Rachel Brooks. How are you, Rachel?
Thank you very much. I'm good, thank you. That race was crazy. I've had to bring a notebook with me because I had to write notes during it. There was so much going on. I didn't want to miss anything.
And we've also casually placed your book just behind you.
Ta-da. Available in all good bookshops.
And there's one on the table just there.
There is, yeah.
So you can buy get it from all good bookstores, wherever you get your books. Make sure you sign up to it. I'm looking forward to reading
F1 Racing Drive. Yes. That's going to be your copy when we finish today.
Oh, fine. I need you to sign it for me, thanks.
I will do. Of course I will.
It. Also, I'd like to apologise in advance if I sound a bit husky today, because I was at the World Cup final last weekend.
I was going to ask you about that. Yes.
How was it?
It was unbelievable. I mean, the game was rubbish. The halftime show was also rubbish. But the entire 5 days in New York, I am still feeling the aftermath. I lost my voice completely for 3 days.
Amazing. That's how you do New York, though. Yes. I'm going in August. I do not want to have a voice when I come back.
Oh, so I have to say a massive thank you to Jenny Gow for sitting in my seat last week. She did such a cracking job. So thank you very much.
We are looking into what happened in Hungary and then building up, of course, as we go through this. Even though we've got this summer break, we do want to then talk about what's going to happen in the Dutch Grand Prix and how things are going to make progress. So lots to look forward to.
Yes. So let's go for it bit by bit, as is tradition. Producer Jim.
Okay. Heavy 2025 vibes as papaya rules are back. Oscar, Muggs, Norris up for the lead on lap one. Then we get the I'm faster than him routine from Norris. Oscar pits first because he gets first dibs under team rules, but Norris pitting later was the better strategy. Ignoring Oscar's unlucky breakdown, were the team favouring Norris? Discuss.
Oh, that's tricky, because they did let him out in traffic.
Yeah, I don't think they were favouring either. I think they've been very fair, actually. But I just think Lando was on superb form, wasn't he? He was really good.
He was. And actually, I wanted someone to ask at the end. I know the way it panned out, it was in Lando's favour anyway. But there was a point earlier on where Lando was faster than Oscar and he was asking to be let past and he wasn't.
Yeah.
They stuck with their usual rules. When Oscar pitted, I watching didn't think that's the wrong timing. So I think it's hard for us to now in hindsight go, oh, they let him out in traffic. Because at the time, it looked like the right thing, to be honest. So I don't think they were favouring him. Oscar doesn't seem happy. about everything, especially his quote afterwards about what was
he was angry. He was, wasn't he? But I do understand it. I know what it's like being racing drivers. And he did say afterwards, you know, I'm sorry, team, to a certain extent, because when you're racing and it goes wrong, you just, your head just goes, ah.
And the adrenaline's still running,
it's totally understandable, the adrenaline there running. And he was leading, you know, and it's been a while since we've seen him up front. And for him to then drop back in that instant with Carlos that he had, was tricky.
Were you surprised by his quote afterwards, though, about that? Because he said, that's no excuse. Carlos told us he had no blue flags. Oscar said, that's no excuse. That's got to be one of the dumbest things I've ever seen on a racetrack. So I don't really care what excuse he gave. That was in the pen at the end of the race.
I know, but it was a mixture. I mean, the fact that the blue flags were not coming out, so Sainz didn't get the warning that he was about to be lapped. And obviously the team hadn't told him either. And I don't think Carlos did, you know, because in that situation, he didn't realise he was there. And I do believe with what Carlos was saying is that he wasn't aware that Piastri was right behind him.
But then there's some rogue video then online, because there's video online showing Carlos seeing 9 blue flag signs at the side of the track and the team coming on the radio. So if that's been played out of sequence, then that's really bad. But there is video doing the rounds where you've seen it.
I've seen that exact video, yeah.
Yeah, so it's really hard, because it wasn't played at the time, we don't know the chronology of it. But they are showing him on lap, is it 37 and then 38 and something. And he does get told that there's a car coming. But because Carlos was fighting Fernando at the time.
Exactly, yeah.
I haven't been in that situation. I can't tell you what it's like. But I imagine when you're fighting someone up ahead, the last thing you want to worry about is the guy behind you.
I mean, look, we're going to be discussing Williams a little bit later on. But I just want to throw this curveball out there.
Uh-oh.
Maybe they need to start favouring Lando because they need to make room for a little Max Verstappen to make his way into McLaren. I'm just saying.
Wow.
It's a possibility. And we're all still talking about it.
If I had a mic to drop, I'd drop it.
The rumours are still flying everywhere, right?
Well, we're getting on to silly season later, aren't we? Because I've got a whole grid for you.
Nice.
Oh, good. Oh. Look forward to that.
Okay. All right, let's move on quickly then, so we can get to that later.
Okay, Papaya 2. McLaren bring upgrades to Budapest and are suddenly back at the front. Great pole lap and victory from Norris. Had Oscar not had been unlucky, it would have been a 1-2. Is this track specific, or are McLaren now a championship threat? Discuss.
I think it was impressive. I think that they are definitely building back up, aren't they? I think so. I mean, they've got Mercedes power, as we know. It's taken them a little bit of time, and Mercedes have, I think, updated things a bit for them. But they've had to get their heads around the power side. But the chassis side is definitely improving.
I don't know if it was track specific, though. Because it seems like, from what everyone was reporting on Hungary, was that, I mean, you've just got endless boost going on within your car because of the amount of energy you can put back into the battery. So it seems like maybe this could just be a track-specific situation. I don't quite know.
So I share a tennis coach with Andrea Stella, of all people.
Flex.
So I often bump into him at the session. So I finished my session. He's arriving for his. And I've been chatting to him this season about things, and this is nothing that's, you know, not on record. He hasn't told me any secrets or anything. But I definitely got the impression from him that they felt they were behind in terms of understanding the Mercedes power unit, and that that's what they've been doing, is playing catch up with that. And so whereas normally we look at them and they're the development kings, in this situation, even their development's been behind because they've been catching up on the engine side. Mm. So I think, as you said, Ben, they understand this a lot better now. They've got the updates from Mercedes and they're starting to build their development cycle off what they have now. And I feel like it could be track specific, but I actually also think they've made big progress into this car. And I also think there's more to come in the Netherlands. And I think we could now see McLaren on that trajectory. It's just taken them longer this season than it has in previous seasons to get a handle on the development.
It could just be how they handled going round Mansell, Hamilton, Buda and Pest.
What was it?
Some sort of control centre, something around
there. Yeah, driving centre or something, wasn't it? One of the corners.
I need to get Ben's perspective on this, because as a commentator, they've thrown out the new corner names so last minute. I also text Harry Benjamin, who's obviously a friend of the show, and I was like, are you going to use these names? What are you going to do? And Harry was like, no, just didn't bother.
Well, I totally get that. As a commentator, I mean, it's lovely to remember great names, and it's partly the fans of that Hungary Grand Prix that have been asked, you know, what can we do to make the to give this different names? And I do understand why they've given the names, but as a commentator, names around corners like that is so difficult to say. Oh, they're going into Hamilton. What?
Yeah.
They haven't crashed into Lewis Hamilton. That's not right. Lewis is out there.
He's still driving.
And you're,
yeah.
If you're shouting driver names as the corners, it feels very strange.
Yeah.
I mean, Hamilton straight at Silverstone, I can live with that because they're called one of the straights.
Yeah, because it Hamilton is Hamilton straight.
Yeah, in some ways that's easier. But going into Copse or going into Stowe, yes, that makes sense. But going into a driver name as a commentator, that's difficult. Okay, it's maybe just commentators that find it hard. How was it for Harry?
He just didn't bother.
Okay.
He literally just went with turn 1, 2, and 3 and 4.
Yeah, I can understand that.
He just didn't bother.
But I almost wonder what the reaction was when 130R was originally named 130R. I can imagine people going, what? 130 what? What are you talking about? I mean, I get it because it's the radius, right?
Yeah.
Of the corner.
Yes.
But even then, there was probably a surprise. We'll get used to it. We do with everything, don't we?
Everything else. I mean, eventually, but... I wasn't a fan of it.
I know. Yeah, I find it a bit odd, I must admit, yeah.
Producer Jim.
Okay, Ferrari looked to have the beating of Mercedes all weekend, but with the help of two penalties, Hamilton missed out on a huge chance to close the gap to Antonelli. Poor decisions from the team or the FIA discuss.
There was an amazing video I saw on Instagram this morning of just some influencer who was pretending he was Lewis Hamilton. And come spend the day with me as Lewis Hamilton.
Oh, no.
He goes, so I get up, brush my teeth, get a 5-second penalty. And then I change my outfit, I put on a new shirt, get a 5-second penalty. And I was like, that is brilliant, because that's what it felt like for Lewis at the moment.
I didn't realise how many he's had recently.
Mm. Yeah, it seems to be really common.
The Monaco
for him.
Speeding, the out of his grid box, pit lane speeding twice, sorry, Monaco, and then at the weekend. And it's like 5 in the last 3 races, four races.
Yeah. Very unusual. Isn't it that we see that from Lewis, but it does make you wonder with the rules and things, are they shifting them slightly, or it's a bit I think they are sticking to rules, just tighter than ever sort of thing.
Can answer me, Ben, the pit lane speeding, that 0.1 kilometers per hour, that's the average that he broke it by, right? Because they do an average from the pit lane.
Yeah.
So it's not just at the very last second he's done it too early. He's done it and been too much
I think that the trouble is the average is based on everything.
The whole length.
I think he may have just accelerated just a fraction early, and then it builds that average up, as you say, to a higher level. So that may be what it was.
So unlucky.
And it was. And it also, obviously, it was interesting that it threw him a little bit that he was asked by Ferrari to come in. And that is a good question, you know, because that when they brought them in under the safety car there, they only called him just as he was coming around up to the last corner. So he had to dive in. Mm. And I do see that's difficult for a racer when you're very much in race mode, trying to achieve what you're trying to achieve, and then told, come in. And it's like a bit of a throw. And I think that it did throw him a little bit.
And that you're told on exit, you'll be fighting somebody.
Yes.
So get out ahead of them. So all that's going on.
Yeah. But I do understand, because a lot of people thought Ferrari would dominate that race, actually. And Leclerc, him talking afterwards was very interesting, wasn't it? Because he was really quite disappointed how it went for them.
Because at Silverstone, they weren't supposed to be the best, weren't supposed to do well, and they did well. Hungary, everyone thought they'd do well, and they didn't win it. Do we understand their car? Do they understand their car?
No.
It's a good question.
No.
It's a good chassis.
Does.
I mean, that's what...
Amazing chassis.
McLaren have said it's the best chassis out there, haven't they, before? And but it just didn't quite come together for them. And we know power-wise, that's partly why Hungary was expected, because power is not such a key thing at Hungary as it is at some of the other circuits. But it still didn't quite come together for them, especially with Lando snatching that pole position as well.
Yeah. Producer Jim.
The George Russell hoodoo continues with another poor qualifying performance hampered by engine issues. Despite a new power unit for the race, George's start is nothing short of a horror show. 5th to 20th on lap 1, then gets back to 7th by the finish. Good recovery drive or another nail in his championship coffin? Discuss.
Oh, it was a tough weekend for him once again. I don't think it was George's fault at the start. He recovered. He did what he could. But just seeing him afterwards being interviewed, and Rachel, you've interviewed so many of them over the years, just the state that he's come across, and now we're going into the gap. I do hope he can kind of pick back up again, because it does feel as though he was really going through a bit of a down patch now.
He comes across a bit defeated at the moment. But I just want to highlight, I don't know if you heard this, but in the cool down room, Kimi was talking to Lando and Max and they played George's start and they were watching it. And Kimi said, you know what happened to him? It seems like he touched the top of the pack, the battery, then lost the boost. Which it might have been, but it also then implies that's driver error.
Yeah.
Which is hard on George right now, considering everything he's going through. And the other thing that George has up against him is that whenever anything seems to go wrong for Kimi, he bounces back brilliantly in the next session. Mm. And that's been the key to his championship this season.
I agree.
Kimi doesn't let anything sit with him. He's back in the next session like it never happened and he's on top of his game. Whereas things seem to be lingering a little bit for George as much as he tries. The best thing George can do is go away, do what Lewis did, remember who you are. You're not suddenly a bad driver. You're not suddenly slow. You're not suddenly making mistakes. Get back to where you were. I think... Yeah, the break couldn't have come at a better time for George right now. He really needs to go and have a reset and remember that he's not there for luck. He's there because he's a phenomenal driver and he just needs to, I think, get a little bit of a better handle on this car and the deployment and everything as well. I feel like, I don't know if it's because Kimi's used to more streaming, more online racing, e-racing, whatever. I feel like there's an understanding of deployment and energy that just a tiny bit more work and actually George could be up there.
Yeah.
There was definitely a moment where he was trying to pull away from a pit stop in the pit lane and he even looked like he kind of struggled with that a little bit. So that makes it seem like maybe it wasn't driver error. Maybe there was a slight issue with the car when it came to pulling away. But then if there was an issue with the car, then surely that would have been flagged when they were going to pull away for the formation lap and that kind of thing, to, for him to kind of go, oh, there's something not quite right here. So there must have been something wrong. Maybe he did something wrong on the start and in the pit lane, because you could see there were issues on both situations.
Yeah, but so it may be a power unit problem.
I don't know.
As a driver, if you feel like there's something wrong with the car, that gets in your head.
It does. Yeah.
And that's really hard to overcome. How many times have we said to a driver, or a driver said, oh, we think there's something wrong with the chassis, and the team are like, there's nothing wrong with the chassis, but we're going to change it because mentally he needs us to change it.
Yeah.
So I don't know how George is going to play this from now on. I mean, he's literally 59 points now behind Kimi.
He'll be back. I have faith.
Do you think so?
Yes, I do, because I think one of the things for George as well, and I heard someone else talking about this, is he was used to late braking and you can't do that with these cars this year. You have to drive them differently. So I think if George can go away over the summer and go, right, let's go back to square one here. How are you supposed to drive these cars? How is Kimi driving this car? You've got all the data, you've got all the telemetry. How is Kimi doing this? We're in the same car. I think there's a lot of work that can be done. He said over the winter he worked really hard, and he did, according to the team, worked incredibly hard over the winter to be on top of these cars at the start of the season. Everyone else has now caught up and they've studied and they've learned and they've worked out where to overtake, where to wait, where to let someone else do a move. They'll get them back on the next straight, the next turn, whatever. I think there's I have faith he will be back. I don't think this is terminal at all.
I want to hit you with something that Jenny Gale said when she was on as a guest a few weeks ago. She said, if Kimi wins Monza, he's won the championship.
Oh, really?
That's literally what she said.
Yeah.
She was like, if he manages to win in front of his own home fans, that's it. He'll do it. He'll win the entire championship.
I still think Kimi's going to win it anyway, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Because the mentality he has, I've been so impressed by. I did not think he had this mentality coming into this season. I watched him. I was commentating on FP1 in Monza when he went out. When he'd taken over George's car, was it, in Monza that year when he just went for one FP1 session?
That's right, yeah.
And you saw that and you were like, oh, Toto, you know, it's Toto put him in too soon. And everyone's saying that. The mentality he's come with this year, the strength of mind he has, has really impressed me. And so we know he's got the talent now. We've seen it. And if anything goes wrong, that's where sometimes drivers fall back. Nico Rosberg said to me, it's in the book, but he knew that if he got ahead of Lewis one weekend... He got into his head for a few weeks. That's not happening with Kimi. And I think that is the key to where he is in the championship.
Oh, it's so juicy. I love it. Producer Jim.
The Hulk finally scores points for the first time this season and lights up the best of the rest scrap, mixing it with the warring racing bulls. Can Audi catch Alpine in the championship? And is Hülkenberg doing enough to keep his seat? Discuss.
Oh, that's something else we're going to be getting into is, yes, who's going to be where? And there is a bit of a question. But I was very pleased to see that he scored some points because his teammate has done it a few times this year. And the fact that Audi have now got ahead of Williams, and that's something else we need to talk about moment. Yeah. Yeah, indeed. But it was great to see Nico Hülkenberg get into the points.
So I don't know how we're going to play it from here because Racing Bulls are also just pulling a blinder. Yeah. Arvid Lindblad and Liam Lawson. There is always a guy that comments about Liam Lawson on this podcast. Both of them are just being fantastic. And I'm going to throw my money on Racing Bulls being the best of the rest officially.
Yeah.
But seeing Audi up there and seeing them so close together, I think is really exciting.
You mentioned Racing Bulls. What I've been gutted about is that the last few races, the two Racing Bull drivers have been having phenomenal battles on track and we just haven't seen it on the coverage.
Yeah,
it's so disappointing. Yeah. They've been so good. It's like one of the highlights of the race every time is these two battling each other on track. I think, they've got two brilliant drivers there at the moment. We'll talk about next year. But they've been doing brilliantly. But for Audi, I love what they're building at Audi. I've had the two drivers in my fantasy team and it's really annoying because they qualify well and they drop back in the race. Yeah. This time Nico got a point, which helped me massively. Thank you very much, Nico.
Yeah.
Because they're cheap. He's like the cheapest driver out there. Him and Valtteri, and then Valtteri always DNFs, so that cost you. But I love what Audi have been doing. I've been really impressed by it. And I think they are just quietly, slowly going about their business, building. And I think there'll be more points to come for sure for them.
Yeah, I think so too.
Producer Jim.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Another podium for Max Verstappen and a wonder overtake on Hamilton into turn one. Hadjar once again playing the team game as well. Why would Max possibly want to leave Red Bull? It's silly season, people. Who do we think is going where next season?
Okay, right. Now, this is what I'm excited about. And also, I mean, as much as it was really nice seeing Max on that podium, he was very lucky with the strategy that was called there that for him to stay out and not pit during that safety car. So it felt like he was very lucky that his car wasn't quite fast enough to hold on to that.
I was impressed the soft tyres lasted too.
29 laps, wasn't it, he did in the end.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of the actual pace of the car, if that was just a normal race without any safety cars or anything, then I don't think he would have been on the podium. So there's still potential for Max to leave. Over to you, Rachel. I'm excited.
Well, so
just going to get my
he
water.
He said the car on Saturday, he called it undrivable.
Yeah.
And on Sunday, he said, how the hell we got second today is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Not to mention the book, but in the book, I explain how Max gets more out of a car than he should. So on paper, he performs better than the car.
Is it in this book? This book right here?
This book right here. There is actually a whole chapter on about how he can drive around issues and how he can drive through problems. And it helped me understand a lot what Max gets out of a car. Now, the good thing for Red Bull is that they've got Isaac doing brilliantly this year. And they've got someone as close to Max's style as they could possibly get. I also think Kimi's is quite similar to Max. But they've got in Isaac someone who actually can drive around those issues as well. Not to the same level as Max, but he's learning fast and he's been really impressive. But I still think Max is looking for an exit because I feel like, yes, he's showing us all what he can do right now. And we're all impressed and we're like, Max is amazing because he is. But he wants to be winning again. He doesn't want to have to show that he can get a car that should be 10th up to second. He wants to be winning races again. Much as it looked easy for him before, he still wants to win. He still wants a trophy at home. He still wants to... I just don't see, with all the people that have left there now as well, that Michael Manning, the latest to go, I still feel that he's looking around going, I've done my time. I've given you everything I possibly can. And now I want to go somewhere I can win again.
Which of the teams do you think is he more tempted by? Because we're talking about potentially now going to McLaren, but we've talked about him potentially going to Mercedes. I mean, could there be a swap between him and George Russell?
Give us your list. I'm excited for your list. Just give us the list. Come on. Okay, we're all craving it.
This is, let's throw it out there.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel that Max would still go to Mercedes.
What?
I think...
Wait!
Max will go to Mercedes alongside Antonelli. Ferrari will be Charles Lewis. Red Bull will be Hadjar Piastri.
Oh, really?
Ooh,
really?
This I That's like. I like this.
I think McLaren is potentially Norris and Russell. Oh, potentially. No. All British lineup.
Wow.
I think Fernando will go to Alpine next year.
Really?
I think Sainz will go to Audi.
Yes, that makes sense.
I think that's quite likely, yeah.
I think Colapinto will go back to Williams.
Okay.
And I have Fornaroli getting onto the grid, but I'm not 100% sure where yet.
Okay.
This is so interesting.
That's my lot. I think I've thrown enough curveballs out there.
I would not have removed just Russell from Mercedes. That's such a massive curveball. But actually, Russell to McLaren makes sense.
Well, possibly. It'll be interesting to see two British drivers there, wouldn't it?
But
yeah, I wonder.
I think Max to Mercedes, it's just in my head still. Toto missed out on him before.
Mm-hmm.
I think that still bugs him. I think he would feel like that was a massive
coup
to get him from Red Bull now.
Yeah.
I also think Max would really love to go up against Kimi Antonelli. Yeah.
He'd also mentor him really well.
Oh, I don't know if he'd still mentor him if he was in the car opposite. I don't know. I love the way Max mentors the younger drivers and the others on the grid. But is it because he's not fighting against them on track yet? I don't know. But it would be amazing because Max knows he's incredibly talented, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't have to worry about anyone else.
Yeah.
He knows he's the best. So then I totally see Max still going to Mercedes.
Interesting.
Just to completely. And I don't know, Toto said, no, he wanted too much money. He wanted 3 years or whatever. I still see it happening.
I'm intrigued to know if there's going to be any rookies coming in. Because in F2 at the moment, there's a couple of guys that were stars in Formula 3, champion and second. And they're right up there in Formula 2. So Nikola Solov.
Oh, I've got him at RB.
I've got
Solov at RB. I can't decide whether he's replacing Lindblad or Lawson.
Ah, that's interesting. And Rafael Camada, won the F3 championship and is still doing well. He's doing well in first season of F2. Could well go to Haas because he's backed up by Ferrari Driver Academy. And of course, there's Ferrari connection between Haas and...
I love silly season so much. Like I love the racing, but I love it when the drama happens. Well, I love it when people start leaving, moving, going anywhere else, and everyone's like, what?
Yeah.
I want that.
But also I think people do move around a bit more now, and I also feel like the grid at the moment is so exciting, and I think there are new teams coming in, they're building things. I mean, Aston at the moment, who did I have at Aston? I was debating whether or not Science would go to Aston. I was thinking about that. George could go to Aston, but I don't think he would.
No.
Wouldn't leave Mercedes to go to Aston. But they, if that engine upgrade, when it comes, they could be a really attractive prospect for someone next year.
It's a good point, because we're now getting into the We Need to Talk About section, which is talking about a team that's underperforming. And in this case, I'm not actually talking about Aston, because they had a slightly better weekend. And we're going to, as you say, keep an eye on them. But it was Williams who really... feeling as though they're a bit disappointing at the moment. That's 5 Grand Prix now. They've gone with 0 points, which is, that's pretty depressing. And they've dropped now behind Audi in the Constructors' Championship. And you can tell from Carlos Sainz, you were talking about Carlos going, moving on perhaps to Audi. It feels like Carlos is not very happy with the way Williams
and
are getting
Alex.
On.
Both of them just don't seem happy at all.
How many races has Alex said this is just a testing session for us? And he's had to come in and pit, and they've changed parts, and they've used it literally as a testing session. In a Grand Prix race, when you're a competitive driver, that's soul-destroying.
At what point... Oh, I'm going to say it, but please don't hate me for saying it. At what point do we have to accept that James Vowles has run his course?
I think he can still make it happen. Honestly,
Williams... but he was saying it the whole of last season and the season before. He was like, yeah, we're ready. It's going to happen. It's this, it's that, it's this, it's that. But they've had nothing to show for it. They didn't work on their previous car at all last year, because they were just focusing on this year. They were just focused. They were working on it so hard. And they've offered up nothing. And for the Williams fans, it's heartbreaking, because you think... wow, I've got Carlos Sainz as one of our drivers. That's incredible. Alex Albon is wonderful to watch, and both of them as teammates are fantastic. All of these promises that were thrown out on a plate, any other team principal and in any other sport, if we're talking, if we can talk football for a minute, if this was a team manager, he would be gone.
Yeah,
he would be gone.
But look at, you know, Adrian Newey with Aston Martin. That, okay, they have improved a bit now, but the way they were so far back with such a great engineer himself, I think it's too early to blame James. I think at this stage it's more a question of getting it all together again. But I don't know.
How many times can you say that, though? But I think, I mean, James was on the radio at the end of the race and he said, look, you know, we know it's been tough. We're going to try and turn this around the second half of the year. We're going to get you a better car, et cetera, et cetera. That's all very well. But as you say, they threw out last year in order to get ready for this year. True. That's a big call to make to then not have something to perform with. And then when you talk about Aston, in fairness to them, it's not just the chassis. It's the chassis, the engine, the fuel. There are so many areas they've had to work on in that car that actually you can't pinpoint any one area. They've had to try and improve every single area on that car. True. Adrian said to me at Silverstone, this upgrade, we are hoping will get us into Q2, but please wait for the engine upgrade to see the real effects of it. Well, Fernando got into Q2. Lance finished P13, was it yesterday? Yeah. Mm. I mean, that's brilliant. That's a huge leap for them. And while we've given them a lot of grace, they did say, please hang on until we get the upgrade and then judge us.
Well,
so
also,
that's
they
all
had,
you can do.
They had the issue of loads of people from Honda actually leaving.
Exactly.
And then
they weren't even there when they
all fresh people
joined.
Part of the team. I just, as much as we look, we all love James Vowles. He's a wonderful man. He's a lovely guy. I've interviewed him a couple of times. He's been nothing but a joy and a pleasure and a wonderful human being. But at some point, someone has to make a decision. Oh, God, I'm really sorry, everyone. I'm so sorry. But
you
I don't
changed.
Take it back. I mean it. She said it. She's done it. Get over it. Subscribe and stuff. We're Essential F1 on all the things. I'm sure this is going to be a social media clip. Go me. So put your comments in the section below. Speaking of social media, we need to mention last week's episode. Now, I wasn't here because Jenny Gale was in my seat.
Yes.
But in your seat was Andy Willman.
Yes.
Of Grand Tour and Top Gear fame.
Fascinating.
He said some quite controversial things last week, more controversial than what I just said. So what we're going to do right now is just quickly remind you, if you're listening or you're watching, what Andy Willman said last week.
Why isn't F1 now going, we're so big after Drive to Survive, let's go to synthetic fuels, let's get some V10s back. Can't F1 go, we're now big enough?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why can't they go, right, we'll be a testbed for synthetic fuel?
Now, since then, we've had some comments. So you've got Mark Holes, 6831, who says, you have the E-Series. Now just leave F1 with engines. Try different fuels, but let the drivers get in and race the whole length of the Grand Prix. Then you've got Ricky Buxton, who says, F1 could definitely be synthetic fuels, ICE only, but then we could probably need some refueling to come back and make the cars even close to the performance that they have now. And then you've got Philip Ryan, 6003, who says, bring back real cars. And then just for a bit of balance, you've got Offered Darcy, who says, might need to bleep this, total b-. So your thoughts, please, on the current regulations, Rachel.
God. Well, I'll be honest. I really felt sad when Martin Brundle made his comments about how we've lost the great corners, like at Silverstone and Spa, because there's emotion behind that and there's genuine feeling behind that. And I think the drivers now are speaking out as well. Whereas everyone's tried to sort of say the right thing, if you like, throughout the season so far. Let's be honest, we've all been frustrated by them. We've all been frustrated. I know what the FIA, F1 were trying to do. I get it. And absolutely needed to make some changes. It was a step too far. I think we can all see that. They are trying to rein it back in for 2027. They're trying to make changes, but I think it was just too much in one go and the racing has suffered, sadly.
Although it's funny you say that because I know there are a lot of people who are not... We're F1 fans from a long way. We've worked in it for many years and it does feel strange to us. But there are some people who are just getting into it again and saying, oh, there's lots more overtaking.
Yeah, sorry. When I say the racing has suffered, I mean the pure skill of the drivers.
Yes.
We're missing that. Yeah. We're not seeing it.
Yes.
And I hated standing in front of a driver who would tell me that, you know, Charles on that qualifying lap, you know, one tiny little error and the whole of the next lap was ruined. And you're like, I want to see a driver driving flat out, absolutely on the limit, giving it everything, getting out of the car and going, wow, what an experience. Mm. Not, yeah, well, I saved enough energy in that corner to be able to use it on that straight.
Yeah.
That's what we've lost. And sadly, we have that for the rest of this year. Everyone's just going to have to deal with it. You know, Yes, Silverstone wasn't the same. Yes, Spa wasn't the same. Hungary, great, but we didn't need the deployment. You know, it wasn't a factor there.
Overtaking was just as hard as it used to be, actually.
Exactly. Like old, and we had some great overtakes. And yes, there was some great racing. So we have to take those good moments this year when we get them and live off those, because we've lost a lot of the rest of the element, but they're trying to get it back.
Yeah.
FIA and F1 are trying to get it back. They've seen it as well. They hear the comments, and we have to give them time and give them the grace to next year make it a lot better. And I think they will. I have faith in them doing that. But now that people are making the comments, the drivers are talking about it, we have to go, yep, do you know what? This is what we've got for the rest of the year. Let's enjoy it when we can and then look ahead to next year.
Well, there you go, Mr. Willman. Mm. I think most people will probably agree. I, for one, also agree. So there we go. Now, obviously, we are now in the dreaded Formula One summer break. So there's going to be like no racing going on, and we're all going to miss it and just sit here and crave some racing and some juicy stories. So don't you worry, because over the next few weeks, we've got you covered. All of our guests that have sat in Rachel's chair have come out with some delicious stories. So we're going to be throwing out some of the best bits on social media and on YouTube. So make sure you stay subscribed to Essential F1. But Rachel, I'm sure the story you've got right now is going to like top the list of our greatest hit stories.
I absolutely know it's not. However, it is one I wanted to tell. Because obviously I left Sky. I have left Sky. And it appeared very sudden.
It did. It did.
But it wasn't. I had a chance to say goodbye to people in the paddock, to people I've worked with, teams, drivers. And I actually had a chance to say goodbye to Lewis. And I had a lovely chat with Lewis and got some time with Lewis to have a conversation. And he was, as you would imagine, really, really lovely, very supportive. Won't divulge everything that was said, but it was caught by some photographers. There's a lovely photo at the end of it. He gives me a massive hug and he says, I hope I see you back in the paddock soon. He was really lovely. And then in Canada, I was finishing in the media in the TV interview pen, and Charles Leclerc had just finished his written interviews, was just walking back out, and I was just stood by my camera, and he came up and just gave me the biggest hug. Didn't say a word, just gave me the biggest hug. So obviously someone had told him, and I just said thank you, and he left. And then there were a few drivers I didn't get a chance to say goodbye to, because just as it happened, and I was at home the day after I obviously it had been announced and everything, and I get these little video messages from a couple of drivers as well who said, we're gonna miss you. And it was really, really lovely. And it's, the paddock is a family. We talk about it as a family, don't we, Ben, all the time. It's an amazing place, and I kind of didn't think anyone would notice. But the teams, the drivers, it is one big family, and it is amazing. I was quite sort of overwhelmed by the response from everybody, and it's been amazing. And I mean, it looked sudden. It's not. Craig was ready to step up. He stepped up for me when I was ill in Baku and I had my appendicitis, and when I've taken races off in the past. So there's a smooth transition, and he'll do a fantastic job. So I just wanted to address that because I've had so many people asking me about it. But yeah, no, it's all good. I had a fantastic, I'm 14 and a half years doing the best job in the world.
Yeah, and it shows what an impact you must have made on the drivers for them to want to send you messages.
Well, I think there's a few who are breathing a sigh of relief. But to a person, they've been amazing.
Yeah.
Let's just make that really clear. It was nothing to do with comments and abuse I got online last year at all. That was resolved very quickly. And I've got a great relationship with Max. So no, absolutely nothing to do with that. I know a lot of people thought that, and there were some articles written. That's not the case.
Oh, I saw a couple of those. Yeah,
absolutely not the case at all.
Okay.
Well, it's time to look forward to the Dutch Grand Prix, which of course is a bit of a gap.
It's ages away.
Yeah, I know, but we've got to look into it. And unfortunately, it is going to be the last Zandvoort Grand Prix for now, because they are cancelling it from the calendar for next year, which is a bit of a shame, I have to say. Max has won it three times. McLaren have won it twice, but with both drivers. So that's interesting to see what happens. The last Ferrari win was back in 1983. Yes, it has been relaunched. It was off Formula One for a long time, and then came back in 2021. So Ferrari certainly haven't had a win since it came back. Can they win? Well, that's a question. And Mercedes, the Mercedes name, only ever won it in 1955.
Wow.
Oh, Juan Manuel Fangio. So can then Mercedes get the win coming up?
I had no idea it was 1955.
That's almost as bad. Well, I mean, it's longer than our record in the World Cup.
Well, we now have to predict it, don't we?
Well, I mean, we've got to remember, I mean, last year was, Oscar won it last year, didn't he? And that was where there was the podium with Max and Isaac's first podium.
Yes.
Last year. Mm-hmm. But there was all the drama that was going on around McLaren and that whole situation and Oscar winning that race.
And Lando's DNF.
Yeah. And that was all a bit, that was all a bit sus and a bit papaya rosy and a bit stressful, wasn't it?
You're saying that.
Oh, no. I've said a lot of things today. So it's a quite a weird one to predict, but also to be the final home race for Max,
I know.
We should take that into consideration as well.
You can take that into consideration.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Have I got to go first?
What are we
going to go after Ben. I've written them down, but...
Right, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Because the predictions from last week's episode are quite unbelievable. And you know what? There's a part of me that's now a bit concerned about what's happening with this whole Ben Edwards situation.
I agree.
Because none of us saw this coming. He has quite literally been in bum last place for this entire season. And then the last couple of races, he smashed it.
I smell a rat.
Did you see what he did last week?
Yeah, I did. I listened.
All three, Ben.
You got the podium.
Are you
correct
right?
in the right order?
What's going on?
Yeah, I know. And then when I was watching, I thought, oh, Piastri might win this and I'm going to be wrong again. And then the way it all worked out and Lando Norris got the victory.
You chucked a marble into his gearbox, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Such a Ben thing to do. So this is how the championship stands at the moment. So I'm currently still in P1. I got 4 points for Max in P2. So I've got 46 points.
So you're still leading by miles.
Yeah, but not as miles as it used to be, Ben. Because in P2 is producer Jim. You got a big fat zero from last week, Jim. Still on 32 points. Ben got 12 points for all top three. So he's now on 26 points. So you're only 20 points behind me. So this is like, all that takes is a couple of races for me to completely throw this thing out the window and you to catch up and win it.
You always manage to score well.
It's all for a bottle of bubbly. So I'm really going hard on this. And then team guests at the moment, big fat zero from Andy Willman. So you're in last place with 15 points.
Oh my word.
I know.
Oh God, pressure.
So, and annoyingly, as is tradition on this podcast, we do go to team guests first.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's just how it works.
I am actually going for Norris to win, Verstappen P2, and Piastri P3. Oof. I had Antonelli, but I crossed it out because that would be the same as the last race.
Oh.
I've gone Piastri P3.
And a fastest lap? Because you get points for that.
Antonelli.
This is interesting.
Yeah.
It is so hard.
I tried to look at the track and the layout and I tried to work out. I think McLaren will just have enough to win this one.
Ben.
Funny, actually, because I had sort of worked it out and I'm going for Norris too, funnily enough, because he did so well this previous weekend. Whether they can continue that, we don't know. And also Verstappen, as you say, surely he's going to be up there at his home event.
Yeah.
And he may well win it.
Is the car quick enough? I don't know.
Yeah. I'm actually going to go for Antonelli second and Verstappen third and Hamilton fastest lap.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
If you get all three of Ben, I can't.
Well,
I mean,
it's so unpredictable.
Literally every other episode that we've done on this podcast, Ben will throw out his predictions and we all go, please.
Yeah, yeah.
But now all of a sudden he's a threat.
We're listening to him.
All of a sudden it's a concern. Right. I'm going to go P1 Kimi. It just feels...
Because
that's what's won me points so far. So I'm just going to stick with it.
Okay.
I'm going to go P2 Max because I don't think he'll quite be fast enough to win it. But I think there'll maybe be some lovely strategy calls by Hannah Schmitz and the team over at Red Bull. So I feel like Max will go P2. P3 will probably go to Lando Norris. I wasn't sure, which is why I turned it into a song. Sticking with Lando. Yeah, P3. Don't know why. And then fastest lap, I'm going to give to Fernando Alonso.
What? Wow.
Well, they got the engine upgrade from Honda. So, why
Thank
not?
You very
That's
much.
Brave.
Thank you very much.
Can as another prediction, will we hear Max complain about downshifts? Just a thought.
You can throw that out there. All right. Why not? Jim.
Okay, I'm going Norris as well. Ooh. I'm going Hamilton second.
Ooh.
Yes. Max Verstappen third. Norris fastest lap.
Oh.
This is interesting because it means that the championship's going to get so much tighter.
Yeah. Yeah,
nice.
If Norris does it again. Yeah, we shall see.
It's nice. Wow. We shall see. Yeah, and then won't see you for a few weeks, Ben.
No. Sadly, we won't. But there'll be plenty to build up to for the next race.
Very nice. So don't go anywhere. Make sure you pop in your comments of your predictions for the Dutch Grand Prix. Let us know your thoughts on all of the controversial things that were said on this podcast today, by all means. Just put it in the comment section below. We don't mind. We like a bit of controversialness. And we will see you next time. And thank you very much for joining us, Rachel.
Thanks for having me. Buy my book.
Oh, buy the book. Buy the book.
Wonderful. Oh, it's been great to have you with us, Rachel. Thank you so much. Thank you, Nicola. And we will see you in 4 weeks' time when we're getting over the summer break, and we'll be releasing those great guest stories in the meantime. So we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.